We're rolling.
All right.
We're going to try to go live this time, or let's say I'm already fucking up.
No, you're doing fine because we're live. These aren't fuck-ups. These are happy accidents.
It's a warm-up. I just had a hell of a day, so
that's all. Really? Let's go into it.
Well, I'm exhausted, but it has to do with O'Reilly, and they're usually pretty good.
Yeah,
but
fuck those Irish cunts.
They gave me the wrong parts multiple times today, and I couldn't stay on track with the vehicles I wanted to get done. And the one vehicle I really wanted to finish today, I never even started on.
It was a souped-up Studebaker. It looks awesome. Rob's going to put some hydraulics on it.
So we're going to talk about really rich people and what they can get away with.
We're going to talk about hedges, but not hedge funds. Jeff Bezos's hedges.
Yeah, well, he's got a massive hedge. That thing might be 30 feet. I think it's built on a frame.
It's a big bush. It's a big bush.
If it grows straight out of the ground and it's achieved those heights, I mean, I'd be surprised, but I don't know. He probably stole Disney's technology because they're big on their shrubberies.
Yeah, yeah. I hear he's got an entire baseball grounds crew to maintain it. Scaffolding and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, why did I bring up his hedges? Because they're fucking huge, and that apparently violates Beverly Hills, where that beautiful 2,200 whatever million dollar mansion sits.
He just pays the fine.
Yeah. And to him, it's just a convenience charge, you know, for having privacy, a privacy subscription. I think I've heard the term coined. So I'm just thinking to myself, huh? So a guy who's worth that much, who generates that much and accumulates that much wealth. There's nothing wrong with generating that wealth, in my opinion, but accumulating it, that's what blows my mind. He just basically does what he wants and looks at it as like optional based on how much money it will cost him when it comes to local laws, ordinances, or pretty much anything.
There's tiers to laws. As someone as rich as him could get out of the bad stuff, though. From litigation, but
and even in his social circles, he could probably network to get even the really bad stuff off. Like, let's keep in mind, within our lifetime, Rob, probably how many Epstein?
O.J. Simpson.
That's a great, just Epstein, how he dodged it and how people who associate him are still dodging it. And it blows my mind, even the fact that how far does money go to where it's just not enough when it comes to justice and what's right.
Yeah, even with the public pressure on that, still doesn't matter.
Yeah, it still doesn't. Even with Robin Todd pressure, that's right. We covered the Epstein files before anyone else did, even the Department of Justice. Pretty sure if you check the
check the dates. We were about a week early on the big push.
Yeah, we were really, let's go. And people were like, who? And then a week later, it was like, ah.
We'll put it this way. The other week, I was at a red light, no one was around, and I thought, if I was rich enough, I could just run this thing, because I'm not going to hit anybody, and if a cop saw me, I can pay my way out of that.
Yeah, it's just a matter of getting through. Give me the ticket. Just give me the ticket. How many rich people do you imagine get pulled over for speeding, reckless driving? Just give me the ticket. Hell, even if they're drunk enough, DUI. Just go ahead, give me the ticket. I don't care. I don't care.
Andrew Tate says that's what he does. He just flies around and takes the ticket. Now, you could lose your license here. Not every state has points. And then if you are driving without a license, that's just another fee.
That's right. And it's kind of like, how far does it go? So what's the solution, Rob? You got any anything brewing upstairs on how to fix this little predicament that Mr. Bezos and Mr. Musk and possibly other millionaires and billionaires have created?
Well, I don't really have the solution. I think the solution's working itself out. I think that it won't be political. It won't be a religious or political uprising or revolution. Just organically, we're going to start to see some changes due to the level of poverty that people are experiencing. And hey, I work on cars, okay? I have really fair prices. I mean, I don't really charge enough, but I can still see the strain it puts on people, like even getting a really good deal. They don't mind having their car fixed or paying for that or buying a new washer or dryer when it goes out. That's just life. But we don't make enough now to pay for that, so it becomes a big problem. It's like I pointed out before, capitalist society, end-stage capitalism, they've got it figured out what they can get away with. That is, the successful end-stage capitalist has figured that out as a collective whole. Everyone operates as a monopoly because the data across industries still is relevant, I guess. They know what they can get someone to work a day for. Now, they had to pay a sustaining wage in theory to keep that person coming back. You got to keep them alive. You got to keep them fed. They have to have somewhere to stay at night. And so let me just rehash that.
With cheese and maize.
Okay, well, let me rehash that. You go into work. You provide excess value. Your company steals that excess value from you and needs you to come back the next day so they can steal it again. And that's how the system works.
Yeah, we don't want to actually do work. We just want to steal your productivity and, you know, call it work.
And that's always gone on to some degree. It's just that the deal used to be better.
I was about to say, so, the capitalist pyramid, I know, pyramid scheme, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, the top 1%, what used to be the top of that pyramid used to not be so slender and pointed. And to think of it now, think of it like an Eiffel Tower. And all the people at the bottom are at the way bottom. We got a big, thick base. And then we got just a slender, itty-bitty middle section leading up to that top itty-bitty 1%. And there's Mr. Bezos with his giant fucking hedges that he won't even cut down for Beverly Hills, who I can only imagine would probably charge him thousands of dollars a month. I mean, it's a mansion, right? Don't you think that... Here's my solution for that bullshit. Instead of having a definitive fine for certain crimes, have it be a percentage of your wage, your yearly taxable income, or even your assets, depending on where the violation is and what the violation is.
Elon Musk, and I don't know how many, I don't know the grand total of what he can, like, I don't know how many shares of Tesla he has. But he has options at $6 a share, a whole lot of options, meaning he can get shares for $6 due to a past arrangement. And when he does, the value of that share, I don't know, I have to look it up. What is it, 122 or 250? Like, it depends when it's split or whatever. Let's say it's $100. He has an extra $94 there of income if he was to cash it out, so he doesn't cash it out. He uses it as collateral for a loan. Okay, you don't pay tax on a loan.
Yeah.
If he paid tax on that whole amount, I suppose it'd be like capital gains, 30%.
Yeah.
But on his loan, he's got the money to back it up. He probably gets a 2% interest.
I was about to say, especially what you have coming from whatever you're borrowing against, if that's worth more than the loan that you took out against it, you're basically making money by borrowing money.
And I'm not sure if he even has to cash any in to pay the loan, because he might get another loan to pay the loans.
This is something that I think a lot of rich people do. I don't know. I could be late to the party or whatever, but I just heard about, like, if you have like a big hedge fund or a giant portfolio, don't take any, you know, money out of it when you need money.
Like, use it to get a loan, and then you don't pay tax. You just pay the interest based on whatever terms you negotiate from the lender.
Exactly, because if your portfolio is lucrative enough, you would definitely want to take any interest rate you can get from a loan borrowing against that than whatever capital gains tax by, you know, taking the actual cash value out early or whatever the circumstances may be. But yeah. And it's like, it's brilliant, but it's so stupid at the same time.
What I was trying to say earlier is he's got a deep stack. And we all know that.
Deep stack.
Yeah, they're saying he might be the first trillionaire. And that's, there again, stock value.
Yeah. And I have to admit, it's a very unique situation. I want people to understand something. You can't look at his deal and say that he deserves that. Maybe he deserves that based off the deal, but as far as productivity and actual value inside Tesla and what makes Tesla actually valuable.
Well, no matter how much of a driving force he is, there's still only a really small fraction of what he can do to push the company forward.
Yeah.
He can't do even
He's not as good as the engineers he pays handsomely to have and run his software. If that were the case, I think he would have more, he would be probably more involved day to day. But it's kind of like, if you're not involved day to day like that, designing your software, designing, manufacturing your hardware, whatever the case is, you know, you're a typical CEO, you're a pitch man, you're a people man, you're an image man, you're a words man when it matters. Sometimes you're the decider. You're definitely the PR.
Well, you got to delegate, but the thing is, he doesn't even have time to delegate. In that big of a company, someone else is doing that for him, too.
I know. And keep in mind, there's three other companies he's the sitting CEO of. So, God.
Name them.
SpaceX, The Boring Company, and...
Starlink. Is that...
No, isn't that SpaceX?
Is that part of SpaceX?
I thought it was. I thought I remembered on the little box. Tesla, Boring Company, SpaceX... God damn it, this is going to drive
me nuts.
Well,
you can look it up. He's got his hands in some other stuff. I think he's in with those boxable houses.
I think he's living in one.
Yeah, he at least kind of advertised-ish
for got. I'm sure it's not the only place, but he's got one, yes.
Yeah, he's got places to stay.
Yeah, but he probably doesn't have as big a hedges as Jeff Bezos. But yeah, I just want to point out, just reiterating the original point here, the rich shouldn't treat our laws like their own sandbox just because they're rich, just because they can buy their way out of it.
I got one for you. When I was 21, I worked for a guy that bought and flipped houses. And he had previously owned a physical therapy business, and him and his partner sold it for $64 million, so he got $32 million, which was probably equivalent to $70 million now. I don't know, but he had this staircase he wanted to build into the lake, like down the lake shore. And it wasn't quite the floating dock attached to the shore model. So he petitioned for permission because this was let's call it a private lake owned by the power company. Todd's completely in a trance by whatever's on his phone.
Sorry, I just got a message.
Yeah, well, he wanted to build a forbidden staircase, so he asked for the power company for permission because they own the lake. And they told him no, and then he built it anyway. I mean, he got denied a couple times. He's like, yeah, we'll just build it.
And we will build.
I mean, he wanted a fun pad, like a floating diving board slash, I don't know. He wanted an anchor.
Yeah, but
out in the middle of the lake with a buoy so you would know where the anchor was so you could take the fun pad out by, like, push it out there with a couple jet skis and anchor it into the buoy. And he had to hire a scuba diver to go set the anchor. And I was there when the scuba diver was there.
Were you the scuba diver? Did you scuba dive?
No, it wasn't me.
Did the guy there let you scuba dive? Because I always thought those little tanks were cool.
I rode his jet skis to 70 miles an hour one day.
Well, that's cool.
It's those Bombardiers, this like supercharged ones.
Was the scuba diver on a jet ski, or did he just swim?
I think after those, they were a little too fast, and they governed them down, the newer ones, to like 65 last time I looked. Something like that.
Yeah, 66.8 under my radar gun.
He's got, obviously rich people have luxuries we don't have, but where he broke the rule was with the steps. That was the point. He'll just pay the fine, whatever.
Yeah, well, that's not, I know that's the same, but that's not even the same stratosphere what I'm talking about. That's like, he's not degrading your property value by doing that, is he?
Well, he's got neighbors, but not many. They only sold 6 lots on that lake, so there's 6 lots up there.
So any of them losing value off of what he's doing?
They're all super valuable. I don't think so. They were still using the one on the peninsula for photo shoots and stuff for, you know, colognes.
Well, let's imagine you bought instead of like a house on a lake, you bought a $20, $30, $40 million mansion. And you're losing property value because this new dude moved in who makes more money than you and treats local ordinances like whatever. I can pay the fine, so therefore it's legal for me, even though it's technically not. Every time I do it, it's legal. Every time I pay for it, it's legal. And they're not locking me up. They're not stopping me. That's where I think it crosses a line. I don't care what you do to your own property as long as it doesn't affect my property. I think that's fair enough. And that should go for a lot of things, but specifically the rich. And not just when it comes to property, but among other things, too.
They don't necessarily need to pay more taxes, but they need to pay more wages. And they're not going to do that. So, and they are in control of consumer goods.
I want to point
as well as wages. So you are kind of in their trap. They're playing with you.
Taxes have such a negative connotation, people forget why we have taxes. Taxes originally were meant for the society to sustain itself so we can make the value for those rich people. The productivity you talk about that's being stolen. Infrastructure, you know, hospitals, schools. Taxes, yeah, when it comes to, you know, pork spending or any stupid pet project or funding any whatever special interest, yeah, negative connotation shouldn't happen. But I think we lost track from the way America used to be 75, 80 years ago to now, thanks to, in part, mostly because of the 80s, I'd say. The rich were taxed, not out of their wealth, but taxed to sustain the middle class, which provided their wealth through productivity and consumption. We made the rich, so don't they owe us something? I mean, without us, they wouldn't have their wealth in theory, would they?
As long as they're giving us enough that kind of we go along with it, it keeps going. But too many people are getting pinched that were not before that now are. I mean, it cost me $700 to go to the doctor the other day. I mean, what the hell? And that was with insurance. That was an office visit. That wasn't a procedure.
Oh.
I didn't get an injection. I didn't even get imaging. They just coded it real high, and I mean, that's just the way it worked out. And that's crazy. So,
you think they would have found something wrong at a charge like that? Like, you have cancer, $700.
Well, I mean, they get away with it, and it's a problem. Yeah. So people are fed up. I mean, that's why I think there's some organic type solution is coming, because everyone that has a real good angle and starts getting groupies and followers. It almost becomes a religion what those people are preaching, and no one's going to follow the same person. There's division amongst radicals that could maybe get a following. There's too many people doing it, getting a following, and no one's on the same page.
I think people are too lazy. They're too distracted with their goddamn cell phones or any form of entertainment.
And they love their own echo chamber that reinforces what they already believe or have been taught to believe. So it's like,
I got a theory that if we had the same technology today as we did in the 1700s, we probably never would have had a revolution. We would have just been too damn busy, like, oh, God, fuck these taxes.
One other thing about the government, personal opinion, the government has enough income. They get plenty of money in taxes and however else they get it, but they have a spending problem.
Well, it comes from a lot of...
I mean, give me a fucking break. We have a spending problem.
Well, that you goes into a bigger problem of like, okay, you all vote for these people. Why do you vote for these people? Well, they're either for or against abortion or for or against gay trans rights and advocacy. So it's like, okay, people just pick their poison.
There again, as long as there's anything that could be divisive, then we aren't going to look at the core issue of the money.
Exactly. The fiscal responsibility. There are instances where people would go against my ideals that I'm like, you know what? That's a good idea. And I'll even go as far as to say this. During his first term, Donald Trump got rid of a B-something bomber, some fucking endless contract that we had with a contractor in our military that was part of our, basically a taxpayer blank check to them. He stopped that. And I'm just like, you know, if he made his entire first term about that, you know, the quote, draining the swamp like that, yeah, Biden wouldn't have been in the White House, COVID or not.
We can't take the collective of good ideas and make anything out of it.
Well, it's just we got to know, you know, if they got the little D or the R next to their name.
Yeah, so Bernie Sanders has some good ideas and some that might not be so great.
No.
So does Nick Fuentes. So does Tucker Carlson. Like, they have good ideas and bad ideas, but the good ones should kind of be able to rise to get those topics on the table –
Rob and Todd have great ideas.
My point is, the fringe right and the fringe left both have good ideas, but you'll never get people to see that. They've been taught to be triggered. By that one thing they disagree with, they're done for. They have left the conversation. They checked out.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not really listening to it because I've already put you in that nice little convenient box.
Yeah, and you can get labeled so quick with if Todd believes one thing, then he must hook, line, and sinker align with everything the label I'm putting on him goes for, like the typical.
Yeah, we're against bigotry, but we practice it every day politically. Think about it. The same mentality behind racism and bigotry and all these things people say they're never going to be or never like. It's the same mentality. It's I'm taking one thing and attaching all these negative stereotypes to it. That way I'm separating myself from you, and I don't even fucking know you. I may not have even spoken to you, but already because you're wearing a shirt, support a certain bumper sticker or whatever impression I'm under, you know, all of a sudden I'm going to act like I know you to make a judgment about your person, your character without even speaking. That's the same mentality as racism, is it not?
I didn't hear the whole thing you were saying.
When you replay it, ask yourself, is it not? The same thing. I don't even know you, yet I'm going to act like I do
all
just
the stereotypes
shit on you.
That you've attached to it yourself.
I don't like the blue shirt you're wearing. That makes me think you're a liberal, because liberals represent themselves as blue, Rob.
People get tripped up on cues like that sometimes.
Yeah, and it may not have anything to do with anything. That's the thing that gets me. It's a mountain. You've heard the phrase, mountain made out of a molehill. Well, this is really a mountain made out of nothing. There's not even a molehill. There's no moles. We checked. I think that's good.
I could keep going on that, but I get into the conspiracy theories and just, shit. It's like, I just want to do a non-specific, broad-based statement.
Yeah.
Where is America's money going? And who is controlling where it's going? And whoever's controlling it is, quote, in charge. Well, by the way, somebody has to be in charge.
Why not Robin Todd?
Why not Robin Todd? But the loyalty to those in charge can pass all reason sometimes. They get away with a lot. And people have convinced themselves that it's okay if they get away with a whole fucking lot. Because they're against abortion or whatever. That's what I'm saying. Like, they agree with me on that one really triggering hot topic issue for me. And so, shit, let's let them get away with it because they're the good guys.
Yeah, this is very unpopular public opinion, but it should be, because it's opinion against the public. If you didn't vote in your elections, presidential and local, then you're part of the problem of why there's bad spending in Washington and elsewhere. If you did vote, you're still part of the problem, because you voted for these people
convinced our votes. We don't hold people accountable enough with the vote.
Yeah, have you
because
ever?
Too many people still buy all the lies. Let me put it this way. Tim Dillon was and I didn't know him. I didn't know he was a comedian. I didn't know he was a Republican. But now he's ranting so hard about the economy that some that would identify as liberal are saying, oh, yeah. I mean, I can relate to that because that has to do with the economy. But we're talking about a handful of people on TikTok or wherever being like, I can't believe I agree with this guy. You know, there's a lot of comments online. I can't believe I agree with this guy. Okay, so some people are able to detach themselves from those party lines and cult mentality of political party, but not many. Not enough to make a difference. That's the thing. Not enough to make a difference. And people have galvanized their belief so strongly that to make a change goes against That just proves that they were doing it wrong all along. I mean, they...
Ask yourself this objectively. Have you ever voted against your own party? I know most people gravitate towards one side or the other. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you've never... If you can't answer that...
Let me say, for me, yes, a really long time ago. But I'm not sure that voting makes a difference. You're saying it does?
Voting against people does. But voting for people, you're kind of like, a pipe dream.
When the collective that's voting is stuck in the same trance.
Okay, now see, that's the thing. Yeah, the collective. Not, that's
the collective, exactly.
Yeah. Well, they're the ones
that... We're not going to hold politicians accountable because we're stuck in the trance because so many people buy the bullshit.
Well, I mean, they just have that one. It's a way of thinking of like, that's my line. That's the line I can't cross, or else I'm going to go to hell, or I'm not a good person, or whatever's making me do this.
And also, what we've talked about influence and wealth, you think they're going to put me on the presidential ticket? No.
Well, they're not going to put a real person on a presidential ticket because take that back. Trump's kind of changed that.
I know, but look at the fundraising they all get. Yeah. That's the cost of competing.
Right. Yeah. You got to be a part of the machine. Even if you're criticizing the machine and that's part of your brand, if you're not a part of it, then the machine more than likely is going to roll all over you. Unless you're Jeff Bezos, because I'm sure he'll have a wall of shrubbery obstructing it. And then he'll be like to all those Beverly Hillians, told you so, bitches. Bezos out. It's the way I imagine he doesn't say bye or nothing. Just Bezos out.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were mainly going to talk about the privilege that comes with wealth and making laws optional. And I think we kind of covered that.
Well, this is my little contribution to a possible solution, but rich people are just as driven as we are when it comes to money, maybe even more so, because they're, you know, the accumulation of it they're used to. You start attacking that accumulation, you'll get their attention. I'm not saying that it's going to be a cure-all, fix-all, or anything like that, but it'll get their attention a lot more than just a piddly little fine.
The cash flow, if the cash flow is affected.
Or, yeah, it's got to be a percentage of either the net wealth, taxable income, both, property, whatever. It can't just be a set fine. It's got to be, and if the percentages have to go up month after month, then so be it. Eventually, you'll cross a line no matter who it is.
They own the club that sets the rules. That's the thing.
Well, I guess we're going to have to break ties with our party lines.
I'm just wondering if the whole rule book doesn't just go away organically. Look, people can deal with a lot until they start losing their health, until they have, well, obviously nothing to eat or lose their house, but like your car breaks down, okay, you used to be able to afford it. It's part of life. You can't afford it now. You can't go to work. You lose your job. It was really bad timing. You needed that surgery. Now you don't have the insurance. Like things can cascade like really quickly. Compounding issues.
Yeah.
Domino effect. And that person who worked really hard and lost it all or can't achieve health, they either start taking their self out or start to fight for a way for it to change. But my point is, how do you get everybody on the same page? That I'm not really sure. I'm waiting to see how that plays out. Because you said you can't get 10 workers at Chick-fil-A to get on the same page, and I agree.
No. It's just, it always comes down to the swing voters, and the swing voters go usually where the economy is, and the economy is obviously not doing well, so that primes Democrats. Unless Democrats drop the ball, it's kind of in their court right now. It's just the way the pendulum swings. I'm not saying the House and the Senate are going to flip.
But the Democrats aren't going to fix anything, and neither are Republicans.
This is the way things work. If you want to see what's going to happen,
they take it in a slightly different direction.
Well,
I mean,
maybe that's, I think politics works best, at least historically in America. At least in our lifetime, when it actually did work about as best as you could say it could at the time, it's when you have divided chambers.
Let me make a point. Had Kamala Harris got elected,
Yeah.
Okay, we wouldn't have these tariffs. So that would be a big difference. Well, I think we probably...
We probably would have... See, it would have depended on how the Senate responds. Because they would have had to pass the budget bill. And, you know, even Donald Trump's big, beautiful bill got mutated in the Senate. So I wonder how any proposed budget bill that she would sign would get mutated.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
really
know.
Really, if you think about it, the Senate kind of controls.
I was going to say, they're both going to waste money and spend more than we have coming in, like, yeah. egregiously.
Yeah.
But they are going to spend it on different things. I think Kamala and them would have kind of had a little more of a way to prop the economy up in the short term, but it would have just sold us further down the road. Now, we're still getting sold down the road under Trump without the prop up. So, like, I don't know how to really. The fix is not in the which means you're cheating. But that's not what the actual fix is not in. No matter who's in office.
No. When it comes to just two candidates, yeah. I mean, you kind of hope one's a little bit better than the other. And sometimes they are, but like you said, one pulls in one direction, one pulls in the other, and the people in the middle who are looking for practical solutions are just that, they're stuck in the middle. They may get some solutions, but oftentimes they don't, or are not the best solution when something happens.
And another thing is, you're talking about laws. Like, I'm trying to say that the way businesses operate is monopolized, but the speed of change now is so quick that the legal system can't keep up. Change is so
our
quick.
Our process doesn't work as fast as the speed of greed. Greed is almost instantaneous. You know, you try and pass a law. I mean, it could take months. Hell, it can't. Depends on if the government's open or not now.
And the integrity within those processes. And then what do you even consider to be integrity? So, man, It's off the rails. I mean,
we need to get rid of that cost of competing, because I think if people had an equal playing field, and I do mean that equal, you'll get a lot of normal people with normal solutions who come from normal backgrounds that would probably look at a politician's salary as like, and they make a side hustle out of stealing from the public. You know, like, I want someone from that perspective.
If everybody was close to equal, okay, the CEO still makes 10 times the amount of money, has more spending power.
Yeah.
But if minimum wage, and I brought this up a while back, it's a really weird concept. And when I first heard someone mention it, I thought that's a bad idea. And the more I thought about it, it ain't necessarily a bad idea. If minimum wage was $200 an hour, okay,
mm-hmm.
you think, hyperinflation. Well, yeah, but all the old debt gets paid off real quick.
It's almost like restarting. Yeah.
And then... The price of goods goes up. Okay, the minimum wage goes up again. Now it's $2.25 an hour.
Yeah.
You think it's just a one-way street?
What about this? Another thing, too. If, you know, going back to what I was saying about the 50s mentality on taxing the rich, what if some of that taxation were used as subsidies when it came to, you know, what people would consider part of a healthy diet in a supermarket?
You'll have to mention that again, because I'm still thinking about this other thing.
Okay, all right, cool.
The day the change goes into effect, okay, this is just hypothetical, minimum wage is $200 an hour. It takes a while for all that inflation and markets to catch up, and where the money flows to is going to change a little bit, right? But, you know, if I'm suddenly making $200 an hour, does that mean the doctor is suddenly making $10,000 an hour? They already do in surgery, by the way.
I was about to say.
But in clinic, I mean, like... And if they do, how quick does a Big Mac go up in price? I don't know. It's a play at trying to even the field, the playing field. So the rules are, the game's been going on so long, certain people got leverage. That happens in nearly every board game. It's not just Monopoly.
Well, I was about to say,
someone's deck gets stacked. There's a lot of complicated card games now, but inevitably someone gets all the power. We're born into it and someone else already has the power.
Well, it's just a game that's been played longer than you may have been alive.
And you don't always have the right to push back, even if you're like supposed to. The free market is not the free market.
It became more slanted in the '80s when the top 1% drifted away from the median, and the median just sank slowly and slowly. And then, we got a little bump in the '90s, but the bubble of the .com era burst, and then slowly.
Well, the regulations slowly, even.
But the 1% kept on going up. That trajectory never changed, and now we get 2025, where we're at, where it's just astronomical, talking about one person being off of one company a potential trillionaire in 5 years. A trillionaire? Mathematically, that should be impossible. I didn't even think there was that much wealth to be had in this country. And I'm supposed to look at that he's playing by the rules of this game that's been going on and kind of slighted me, so I guess he deserves it. Does he? Tell me. A lot of conservatives would probably agree with that to some extent.
A lot of conservatives have had a pretty good life by following their own mantras through the 80s and 90s, but it ain't the same anymore.
This is the consequence of those mantras. This is what you get. It may not be that bad for you, depending on how you played it, but if you were kids in the 80s and 90s, growing up today, it ain't the same.
I don't know the quote solution, but there's not enough opportunity for hardworking, effective workers. You know, they want to do the best job they can. They're healthy enough to go in and work hard, and they're smart.
They could get a respectable job, but the pay is just not there to suffice for the, what's needed to actually.
The air compressor kicked on outside.
Oh.
We're doing toy balloons and the carnival balloons and shit. I'm just kidding.
Oh,
Todd's looking like I'm serious.
What the hell? Well, what is there? What is that?
It's the air compressor out back.
Oh, well, what was it on?
I was working on cars.
Oh, is it just, does it do that?
Yeah, if it leaks down past a certain PSI, it kicks on.
Oh, past a certain PSI. Yeah, I had no fucking idea.
No, it automatically kicks on. And then
I thought you were telling me. It's an air compressor.
Once it achieves 160 PSI, it kicks back on.
Oh.
I mean, there's not a whole lot of system leaks, but like there's some small ones.
I thought I felt something.
Yeah.
I don't mind it, though. It's like a little blow in my ear. Anyway, yeah.
Let's just talk over it. Fuck it.
Oh, okay. Well, I was about to say, is this going on for a while?
Not too bad. We're gonna just post it anyway, so.
What's that?
My point was this. People think, I worked hard and I moved up. I found a path to security, to financial success. Well, guess what? There aren't enough opportunities to go around anymore.
There you go. It knocked off.
If you cloned me 100 times and put me in 100 different cities or 100 different situations, I've got the same work ethic, knowledge, and ability. I could provide the same level of effectiveness, but a lot of those 100 are going to fail and a lot of them are going to succeed. But more than that, more of them are going to fail than would have failed 15 years ago.
I have a movie picture for you. Let's say we clone you 50 times.
Okay, 50 instead of 100.
Well, hear me out. 50 times, put one of you in each state, and then have you go see issues with your back due to the local medical care.
Get over the hump easier. Yeah, like there's
just to
so
see
many.
Which state does what to you. Have but, like a little GoPro kind of perspective, hidden camera deal.
But there's so many variables like that. Yeah, there could be one little hiccup that gets you. Hey, you could randomly be in a car wreck and be paralyzed. Yeah. And that has, there's a lot.
We'll do updates after years. Oh, did you hear the Rob in Oregon died? Oh, how'd he do it? Well, they fucked up his back and replaced his heart with a baked potato.
I was thinking they went in to work on it and hit the aorta.
Okay.
They went in from the front and they nicked it and that was it.
Yeah.
Mm. Or the baked potato thing.
Or the baked potato thing. There's a range.
But people are so arrogant to think that they, didn't have help and were self-made.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You know what?
Now, forget about the generational stuff. Remember, I mentioned last time, even you and me in our modest means, if we became millionaires, we'd have to thank our generational past for helping us out to some extent. It may not have been the linchpin to our success, but it set us up for the circumstances we took advantage
of. Well, it doesn't matter how you succeed. If you succeed,
yeah,
something helped you do that, or even if it was luck.
Yeah, yeah. Even if you had nothing, did you have a parent? Did you have a mentor? Did you have anybody cook food for you? How did you live? Fucking Jungle Book people out there. Just sang with a talking bear.
If you want to borrow it or just keep it, I've got a DVD copy of like a really old Jungle Book movie from the 40s or something.
Oh.
It's completely black and white.
Oh, I thought it was the Disney one's pretty dope, but I don't know about that one.
Yeah, it's before the animated one.
I don't know about that. I don't know if Baloo would have the same touch.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's just some economy talk.
I don't know, it's kind of random.
Maybe some things that, you know, not everybody's thought about.
Yeah. We need a closing thought, the resolution. We need laws that work, and the only way laws work is when they produce consequences of a true deterrent. And rich people, they don't live in the same world we do. They need different deterrents, more extreme deterrents.
Well, you could call it law or you could call it policy, but we need something with a little more socialist heart. Now, if you're a thoroughbred socialist, then you've taken it too far.
And you're a horse.
You need some reward for going in and putting the work, so there has to be a capitalist...
I like my joke.
Yeah. what was it?
You said
and you were thinking a horse. Yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
There has to be some reward for hard work. There has to be some reward for... You can't just give everybody universal basic income and that's just it. I mean, all of a sudden, no one farms, no one does anything, no one drives the truck. Like,
well, it would come down to, depending on the cost of living and where they lived, it would be like a more comprehensive version of the federal minimum wage. Except I don't think it should be federalized. I think it should be, you know, on a state level due to the cost of living difference. That would make it a lot more accurate.
Here's a socialist concept I agree with. We have the resources. Right now, we have the resources to take care of people's health needs,
yeah,
people's housing and food needs. The resources already exist. They don't have to be built. They exist now.
Yeah.
So that's a socialist concept that I agree with. Now, how do people get access to that? I couldn't tell you.
Well, I mean,
that's what
I'm
trying to figure out.
You don't want to take away incentive. And incentive traditionally in a capitalist society is provided there by the money that's involved with it. But we take money out of the equation. How do we replace that incentive?
Yeah, and the incentive is dropping. That's what's happening now. That's why young kids would rather just live at mom and dad's house indefinitely, because that hard work ain't going to get them ahead. It just won't do it. The opportunities aren't there. And the rumor is they don't like to work. They do like to work.
Well,
and productivity.
No one likes to work, but yeah, they could be just as productive as their dad at the same age. I think that's fair to say on most jobs.
Yeah, the statistics say productivity's up. Now you could say, well, that's technology, and it probably is, but still, productivity's up,
yeah.
And that's gone up exponentially as it correlates to wages.
I mean, think of this: the universal basic income. Think of it as how much money should we give people to prevent rampant crime? That's a good way of looking at it. Because if you don't, guess what you're signing up for? Rampant fucking crime.
Rampant crime, yeah. Looting and whatever the
survivalism.
Hell. So,
anyway, closing thoughts. Rampant crime is bad.
Yeah, technology hasn't given us a 30-hour work week because, well, we're just more efficient. It's given the rich owners more money.
Yeah.
It's benefited them. Technological advance is it
goes
to the
American mentality that I hear about every so often. Like across the pond, aren't they experimenting with 4-day work weeks and finding out it's just as productive, if not more so, especially for worker morale and mental health?
That's what I've heard, but they already get like long work breaks and some a little more relaxed mindset about things, I think.
See, where's the American attitude? Like, hey, if they can do it, we can do it too. We can do it better. No, we don't do that here. We're different. That's basically the mentality. Like, oh, well, that might be good enough for you there, but we don't do that here. That goes against our rules.
I know stuff can be made cheaply in China, and, you know, that's why a lot of the stuff we are parts of everything we buy here comes from China, at least before the 125% tariff on everything. But we're lagging behind in technology a little bit to China, too. They're doing more infrastructure that serves the public. You know, they say Sweden. Sorry about swapping from China to Sweden, but the public transport system is really good in Sweden. So you can have a private vehicle, but you don't have to. The train comes every 5 minutes. Some days, some hours of the day, it's free. Sometimes it's a dollar. But you know, if they're really surging, it goes to a whopping dollar to discourage you from abusing the free train that comes every 5 minutes.
What do you think would need to happen for America to adopt some sort of infrastructure like that?
We got to decide that that's what we want to invest in, but the rich are too busy getting rich. They're not thinking about...
Well, unless they can monetize already, it and privatize it.
They're already comfortable. They don't see the problem because they're already comfortable.
Well, let me put it this way. They haven't found a way for them to make more money off of it. That's the only reason they would do it. It wouldn't be to benefit you and me. It'd be to benefit them. And if it happens to benefit us, well, that's just a marketing... that's a marketing ploy.
Exactly. It only happens. It's only built if it benefits them by making them more money.
Now, imagine if we had some sort of...
it's widely known that our government contracts are abused.
Well,
here's imagine... Here's a $50 pin.
Yeah. Imagine if we had like some sort of civil servants whose job was to serve us, not themselves because they were paid enough, but actually had the mentality of like, huh, I'm paid handsomely. My health care is taken care of. My family's pretty much taken care of while I do this job completely. I even get my own office and parking spot. Why can't I just live off of that and serve the public? Why isn't that enough? And why don't I take this money I'm entrusted with to do, you know what I mean? Like, this is something, the whole two-party system, people always say it's like, oh, I'm voting for lesser of the two evils. Well, you're still voting for evil. And how's that working out for you?
Well, you know, we need a cap on donor amounts.
Yeah.
If you donate me $30 million, I owe you a favor.
I think it should just be like when it comes to any sort of political debates, I think they should be kind of state run. It shouldn't be one of these things with sponsors and shouldn't have, you know, it shouldn't be advertised. It should be like a civic, you know, like when the president used to get on TV when we were kids growing up. Oh, there goes your primetime slot because every channel would have him on there. Kind of something like that where it's like, yeah. You need to know this. This is beneficial.
Political political lobbying, a.k.a. a bunch of money has flowed through your ranks and you owe us.
Yeah.
I mean, not I had a good idea and I knew you, so I text you about it. No, there's money involved.
Yeah. Well, I think of the way politicians being seen with lobbyists or speaking with lobbyists, or having any contact with lobbyists, shit, I've seen stricter rules enforced by Coca-Cola making sure he's not drinking a Pepsi on the clock. And I'm not kidding about that. Why can't we enforce it in a much higher regard towards a much more deserving title? No offense to any Coke vendors out there, but, you know, politicians have a little bit more on their plate than, you know, delivering soda. Although that's an important job too, trust me.
You guys can feel free to comment on some of this if you can figure out where we posted it.
No. You could have commented on our old stuff, but you chose not. So you can't comment on this. Reverse psychology. Uh-huh. Don't fucking comment. We don't want your stinking comments, your phone calls, or your panties.
And never share. That's like a hashtag.
Yeah.
Never share.
Never share. In all seriousness, I kind of like that, the irony. Hashtag never share. Wait a minute. That's the point of a hashtag is to share.
If we ever change our name from Staunton City Limits.
We never will.
Which is, you know.
Never going to happen.
Then we should consider never share. That'd be to me, that's not a close second, but that's like a second.
Honestly, to me, that's the
we could do a ghost account.
Well, I would just say call this episode Never Share. We'll make the irony of, like, don't listen to this. Don't share this. Don't press play. Press stop twice. You'll thank us. Oh, is that good? We good, or?
I think we're good. We're 50 minutes in.
I was about to say, man, this went on a lot longer. Like, I thought we were going to
people supposedly want long episodes.
Well, they want episodes.
Sorry if y'all are used to our spitball comedy. You know we have it within us. Just go back and listen to the old shit.
Well, no. It's just, you know, you become like a echo chamber after a while.
To ourselves?
Yeah.
That's the thing. We said this from the start. I don't follow party lines. I pick and choose. Like, singular issues.
Yeah.
Maturity of not getting angered.
Well, I mean,
over every little thing to the point that I have to follow somebody's cult mentality, hook, line, and sinker, and therefore...
I think we covered it, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was my point. I think everyone's crystal clear on our opinions on this. If not, God you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it if you don't get it now.
Well, short of throwing out specifics, which I can't do because that's going to trigger people. I don't really mind triggering you, just to be honest, but... I would like an open-minded approach.
Yeah.
I'd like an open-minded approach.
I think less is more when it comes to certain things. Because like I said, the more you talk, the less people are going to listen because they already put you in that little box. You abortionist and or gay activist. I'm judging based on your blue shirt. Don't talk to me. I know you. I don't, but I'm going to pretend like I do and not like you.
Pastor Alex bought me this shirt, and it's got a big rook on it because I'm his rook partner for like card playing or what, the card game Rook.
Okay, I know.
I mean, you've probably seen us on the World Championships.
Yeah, but, I don't. Well,
I don't know
maybe
why he got me the shirt though. If it's like a jersey, he should have one too, and he doesn't.
Can I be honest with you? You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of
the
like
card game Rook.
No.
Okay. The card within the card game that has the rook on it?
Nickelodeon game shows, you know how the kids would be in different teams and they would have the blue team, the purple team, there's the blue ravens, and here's the purple monkeys, and blah, blah, blah. They have like an animal on there, and obviously the shirt would resemble the color.
I used to just wear a big black coat. I'm not saying like Undertaker look, but like, you know, it's like I'm coming in as the rook because it's a blackbird, and I'm like in character that way. But now I have a blue shirt with a black rook on it. And I don't know behind the thought process behind it, why it's blue. It's probably so the bird stands out, but the contrast. If it was a black bird on a black shirt.
You wouldn't see it.
Yeah. But I just think he should have a shirt too, if it's that serious or whatever.
It's a card game. I don't think it's that serious.
Well, don't join us next week, motherfuckers.
Fuck y'all. Bye.
Why are the kids turning on the engines of propaganda? Number one, they're too smart. The technology is there. They know they're being lied to. Here's number two. You're taking all of the things away from them that this entire system was supposedly, purportedly set up to help them achieve. So if I'm a member of the ruling class, I'm going, what are we doing here? What exactly is happening? We're asking these people to believe this bullshit. Jeffrey Epstein's just like a weirdo rich guy. No one else did anything wrong. We don't have any of the files and the videos aren't real. It's actually nothing. Nothing happened. Everything's fine. He never had any relationship with our intelligence agency or another intelligence agency. He had no relationships with anybody. Nobody did anything. He was just a weird rich guy. Don't worry about it. We're asking people to believe all of this stuff and telling them, and the reward for that, okay, is to deliver a Caesar salad to someone. That's it. That's the reward. Your job now is to deliver a Caesar salad. Not that it would have been right to buy the bullshit anyway, even if you had the things. But I'm just telling you how the country ran for 100 years. That's what I'm telling you. I'm not saying it was morally correct to go, I'll take the house and the car and you fucking kill everybody. I'm telling you that's how it worked. That's how the country ran forever. You shut your mouth and you go, I don't want to get into that. I don't know. Yeah, it's a government lab. Kids are disappearing. Shut up. Eat your lasagna. Your mother made lasagna.